Welcome in to the Leaf Edition Hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next couple of hours here as we get a good handful of games in already for National Hockey League teams, including the Toronto Maple Leafs. Fairly convincing win last night against what we deem an NHL hockey club in Los Angeles.
You that down on him, eh?
Buddy, did you see that blue line that they dressed last night, the LA Kings? Just take a quick look at it and read me the names.
Mikey Anderson, Vladislav Gavrikov, Caleb Jones, Brent Clark, Kyle Burrows, Andreas Englund. Not that bad.
Oh, bud.
Not that bad.
Just give me one Drew Doughty there, and I think it presents a lot better. But
yeah,
you factor that in with Big Save Rittich. Is that what?
Big Save Dave.
Big Save Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me one good reason why this guy's still in the league?
No. No, I cannot.
Like, that was not NHL goaltending last night by the LA Kings.
Don't you take this away from my Toronto Maple Leafs.
No. No, I'm not. I'm not. Mm. And I'm not playing Debbie Downer because you're going to tell me everything that you love about them for sure. And good. I mean, like we said, they
made them look bad.
Four and one right now. Bad, yeah. Are they 4-1? Three and one. Maybe 4-1 after Saturday night.
Moral victory.
To me, that
Montreal
will be a better feel, a better test of where maybe the Leafs are at this point. But
yes.
That was a tough game for me to watch last night.
Just quality of play?
Just watching. And granted, I did watch the LA Kings against Ottawa, too, where they gave up 8 goals and blew countless leads as well.
Yeah.
And they're hurting right now.
No statistical analysis of that game matters because the Leafs were up by a field goal within whatever it was, 10 minutes or so. And then that changes the game after that. Like, I looked at a lot of the numbers and it was like, LA had higher this, that, whatever. But the Leafs just kind of played out the clock for the last 45 minutes of that game.
Okay, let's go to Craig Berube.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then Sammy, you can jump in.
Oh, good. Clip one.
Overview of the game.
I thought our special teams were excellent. Goalie was really good. You know, we had a good first period, I thought, you know, got a lead. Second period, they came out and pushed hard early, and I thought we regained our poise and, you know, our game a little bit. But then the third, I thought that we were just sloppy a little bit.
Yeah. Tough to keep your focus, right? You're up 5.
Yeah, you can talk about how crappy the Kings were in the first period, but I thought for long stretches of that game, they carried the play and had the puck in the Leafs zone, right? Like, I know, like you said, it's human
after
nature. After the first period.
Yes.
Like, the first period, the Leafs were dominant.
They woke up and they started pushing a little harder. And then to Justin's point, when you've got such a big cushion, maybe you took your foot off the gas pedal a little bit here.
Yeah,
but
felt like,
you know,
it.
I mean, that's, 14 goals in 2 games that the LA Kings have given up?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just watching, you know, a lot of teams struggle early, and maybe that's a bigger picture for another conversation on another day. But, like, I think as well as we feel very confident about what we've seen so far, there's really just about 7 or 8 teams that really matter.
Are we going back to our Champions League talk from year one of Real Kipper and Bourne?
I don't want to.
They're the Champions League.
I don't want to.
Leafs are a Champions League team right now.
But I got reminded last night that there might be only like 7 or 8 teams that really matter this season.
And you know, and it's nice to cover one of them.
Well, and I would
say,
watching the Leafs so far this year, so trying to temper my own excitement, frankly, because they look different than they've looked in previous years.
Yes. And the feel's different.
The feel's different. Like, they're so much more solid on the back end. Tanev and OAL have gone a long ways to doing that. McCabe has taken a step for me. You know, you've actually got roster competition, guys struggling to get in and out. So you got more effort down the lineup. Like, it just feels really solid. The way I've tempered that a little bit is that they have faced a pretty easy schedule thus far.
Well, non-playoff teams.
But they've handled
a New Jersey team
came
over
that
overseas.
Everybody talked about that they were the 75 Devils after they starched the Did I say 75 Devils? I meant to say 75 Habs.
Yeah.
The 75 Habs, they beat the Sabres, but...
But to the, you know, I should say, when you have easy teams in your schedule, you want to come out and look good.
Yeah.
They've come out and look great. They've come out and done that.
I will say that there is a big-time excitement amongst Leafs Nation about this start.
Early on.
And...
Skeptics. Even skeptics giving you the... Maybe.
I am... I think it's pretty fair to say that the joy has been beaten out of me over the last 4 years doing this show and talking with the Leafs. And the joy is not nearly what it used to be when I was a younger man.
Yeah. That's just life.
That's life in general. Yeah. But I will say, like, I am still a fan at heart. And I am really, really excited about what I've seen from this team. And I have to tell you, like, I fully love Berube. Having Tanev back there has changed things for me. The goaltending looks unbelievable. We're four games into the season, but under a new coach with a bunch of new players, I didn't expect it to look this good this quickly. I have to be totally honest with you. Is that fair, Kippy?
It is, but for me, after four games and then three of them that we don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, it's way too early. Mm-hmm. It's just there's going to be some tests that you want to see. And with all, again, due respect to 32 teams, and, you know, it's hard. 32 teams is a lot, and it's hard to fill out rosters. And for some teams, it's been watered down. There's watered down products out there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have anything to do with the progress that we feel that the Leafs has made, and I won't take that away from them. But over the course of 82 games, the only thing that really matters to me is how I think they can match up once again, guys. Once again, we can say whatever we want about the LA Kings or facing teams that you can kind of pad your stats a little bit. To me, all that matters is how are they going to look in the Atlantic Division coming out of Florida and now Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, right?
Yeah. You know, the NHL, it's become like a long-running storyline now, the whole cutoff of American Thanksgiving or end of November. You know, where teams are pretty typically where they're going to end up. We do see some sorting in the early going. So when I hear people be like, that's a few games or whatever, it's like, it sorts itself out pretty quick. So I think if Leafs fans want to have some joy in their lives, now is a fine time to be like, you're going to be in the fight. You're going to be a team that gets to compete and has good players, and there's going to be injuries and whatever. But yes, I agree, Kip. They haven't got the test against Rangers coming up.
Yeah. Rangers would be in the mix of...
Tampa's coming up after that, too.
Rangers we would put in the mix of seven or eight teams that could compete for the Stanley Cup.
They won the President's Trophy last year. They got chances again this year.
And then I didn't even mention Boston, who beat Colorado last night, but it just seems like everybody's beaten Colorado last night.
Colorado might not be a playoff team all of a sudden.
But the feeling is that the Leafs have made changes to better position themselves up against a Boston or a Tampa Bay or a Florida this time around. But watching them against LA did nothing for me.
No. I think if you're looking for direction and signs and positive things, the power play scores a couple of goals, which is nice.
Yeah.
Moved around. Auston Matthews, goal and two assists. You know, like gets off the schneid a little bit. And so I think there's a lot of the things you wanted to see happen for the team happened. But you're right. I won't argue that the last 30 minutes of that game was like run time.
Felt a little bit like Sheldon's old team.
Well,
the last half.
Yeah, the last half.
I love the timeout, and I love how that was handled.
But I also like that, in all honesty, they would have found a way to last year to make it a one-goal game. Right? A one-goal game. And they still shut the door when they had to, and Stolarz made saves when he had to.
He made one big save.
Even though that there was a good push, he never let the game get out of hand. There was some signs of Sammy swimming a little bit from Stolarz in the back half, a little bit, but nowhere near what we've ever seen out of Samsonov. Mm-hmm. There was a trip in the neutral zone that could have easily been a 5-on-3 out of LA.
Yeah, on
and then
on Lorenz.
You know, and this didn't get lost on Berube because he called that timeout at 5-2, and gave the guys a tongue lashing
with
on the bench.
17 minutes left or whatever it was. I thought that was great. And one thing that Sam and I talked about before you got in today was the, you know, what Sheldon Keefe timeouts looked like last year, whereas Will Ferrell and old school doing the old, you know, we got to keep our composure, you know, red faced and screaming. Berube just kind of looking down at probably Tavares, one of the guys.
Holmberg and Tavares, Holmberg. I think, had an earful.
And he basically said, wake the heck up.
Up.
Yeah. And you liked the comportment with which he had, the, like, demeanor.
Yeah, this is something we talked about last night on Leafs Talk, but it's just, he looked just more direct, better communicator, like, not out of this world mad, not screaming at the top of his lungs. Just looking two guys dead in the eyes and telling them, be better, and it's poised. It's just, there's a presence about him, which, you know, it's just, he's just a bigger person.
He's an intimidating man.
He's just scary.
Yeah.
Do you have anything on a, did he talk about the timeout at all?
He did talk about the timeout today at practice. I just, you know, I wanted to go back to the start of last year where we're talking about them playing against, you know, bad competition. Within the first, you know, they won the first game of the season last year, 6-5 in a shootout against the Habs. They give up 5. They beat Minnesota 7-4 in a wild game where they had to have back-to-back hat tricks from Austin Matthews. They had to tie the game at the end of the game. They lose to Chicago in the first game, one of their games. They lose to Florida. We went to the game they lost to Chicago in. It's just like, you know, they started poorly last year.
The narrative already started of outscoring your mistakes, which we have not said once this season.
Last year, they were a pretty bad defensive team, all told. They were one of the worst defensive teams last year in playoffs.
The point I'm getting at here is that I think Leaf fans have reason to be excited about the way they're playing.
There's signs.
There is no doubt signs that they are a different type of team than they have been over the Matthews era.
But how different, we have not even remotely scratched the surface.
For sure.
No.
So it's
four even strength goals against four games.
I don't want to kill people being optimistic or feeling good. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Yeah, realism check here.
3-1 here.
Yeah.
Like, Saturday night, okay, I'm paying attention. There's a lot of games that you can sit there and go, I'm not going to be able to tell you anything about this hockey club from this, but Saturday night, I think, is one that we can use as a measuring stick a little bit.
Why I'm interested to see how it goes is typically with this team, when people start to talk good about them, when people start to say, this is a good hockey team, I think they have a real chance, they immediately remind you that they'll you know, pee in the bed. That's usually the result. And when they're terrible and everyone laughs at them, you're going to get their best game. You know, they have zagged when you'd expect the zig last year and the year before. So I'm curious Saturday night if you can get another focused good effort.
Like, again, I'm watching last night, and I think there's still this question mark or uncertainty of what's going to become of John Tavares. And where is his fit? Again, up 3-0, less than a minute to go. Kind of carrying the puck through the neutral zone, wants to do a complete 360 in the neutral zone, turns the puck over, and it's right back. And there's a few turnovers as well in the last half of the game. Is he still your second guy behind?
Well, he wasn't last night, right? Last night, it was pretty clear who the second line was, and they were unbelievable. So,
yeah.
McMahon, Nylander, Domi.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Since they've been put together, they've been hot.
We had this conversation. Did you give it as much rope as you can during the regular season to think that you could start Max as a second-line centerman in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Or are you wondering about, you know, other options?
Like, you look at his ice times.
Just make some plays.
You just look at his ice times against Montreal, where he played 18:48 to start the year. But they were like 5-on.
Who, Tavares?
Tavares. That was like 6-on-5 for the last 3 minutes of that game where he was out there. And then he plays 15:04 against New Jersey. Plays 16:10 last night. And they had how many power plays? 4 power plays?
Right.
His role, you are watching his role be diminished in front of our eyes here. Like, he's becoming the third line center. That's happening.
And
you're
again,
watching it.
We saw the really brilliant goal in New Jersey.
Beautiful.
Where he shows that in tight, he could still make quick plays and shoot a puck in the net.
Yeah, that was a special goal.
And it was, if I'm not mistaken, a 5-on-5. Obviously, they went into last night 0-4 on the power play, so that was an even strength goal. Last night, he got a nothing burger off of a backhand. Like it wasn't even day. Say big save.
He had a tough.
It wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't even him. It was Copley.
Copley, like you know,
they made a really weird pull of the goalie halfway through the second period.
It's called a catcher's mitt. Like use it.
Yeah.
You know,
hit him in the glove.
But outside of that, it wasn't exactly like a 5-on-5 display by John Tavares and his line mates last night. So again, that to me is a big question mark. It's a big not a hole, but it's a like how are you going to fill it?
So let me ask you, what are you working towards here? Like, do you have thoughts that this is still a guy that maybe could he get traded this year?
I thought if there was going to be a push on Tavares to move him out, you probably would have done it in the off season. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you wanted to take 50% of that contract at $11 million, could you have found someone to bite on it for $6 or $7 million? I don't know. I think it would get easier for a team that may want to be on the outside looking in, pushing towards January, February. But
are you getting better by trading John Tavares?
But are you going to go now ask him? Yeah, you asked him about taking the C off the jersey. Are you going to now do this in the middle of the season? And this would be a huge distraction. This would be a major, major story.
It would be, but I mean, the distraction would get cleared up by the trade deadline. Right, you would either get a different player who the distraction is then over, or you've offended someone who's probably worse but has something to prove. If that does happen, I don't know. I don't think it's possible.
But taking the C off the jersey is already something to prove.
Yeah.
Right? He's already got what we thought was a chip on his shoulder. But
I don't think this is possible. I don't think he'd want it to happen. I'm wondering, Kip, if there's another solution aside from now this guy's going to play 14 minutes on your third line.
But, I mean, if the top half of your lineup looks the way it did last night, which it has the potential to, with I think Domi and Nylander have showed chemistry together.
What's
wrong with Tavares playing that?
Center. Yeah, you're right.
What's wrong, Sam?
You're right.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, just because you're worried about hurting his feelings, he's in the last year of a contract.
No, I thought you were saying what's wrong with having him.
It's the other part. If you're going to go to Max, listen, if I told you guys 16, 18 months ago, Max was going to be the second line centerman for the Toronto Maple Leafs trying to win a Stanley Cup, you would have looked at me and like I had a third eye on my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, yeah, maybe.
I still don't think that, but you have to get to the playoffs and win games and play what, like, and there's a trade deadline. You have that second round pick that you got from Boston this year where you can improve your centers before the deadline. They're good enough to get to where they need to go in the regular season.
You need another Ryan O'Reilly.
Yes. That's exactly what they need. That is him going away was such a huge hit to this team where they offered him that money and he didn't take it. That to me is the perfect guy. It was always the perfect guy.
I'm thinking about who's the perfect guy now because he's not available.
No, he won't be available. He'll come back now.
That's what I see when I watch the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. You know, besides maybe a deeper blue line and Stolarz.
Maybe a deeper blue line? Very much better.
Better.
Much better.
Better.
No. Yeah.
Yep.
But are you talking about at the deadline about adding to the blue line depth? Is that what you're talking when you say maybe getting a deeper blue line?
We'll see how long they want to take a look at Max in the middle or continue to look at Holmberg in a different role. They still got to shed money, guys. Like, Yarnmark's coming back.
Yarncroc.
What did I say? Yarnmark?
Yeah, Yarnmark.
There's a lot of yarns in the league.
Yeah.
But Yarncroc, so he's coming back in a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And Hakanpaa's money's coming on. So Lilligren, I'm throwing out names now, left, right, and center.
You're on fire today.
Like, this is my last day of the week, by the way.
Grapes over here.
Lilligren, the lily pad, played last night. Yeah. So he's in the mix here. Are they going to try to get rid of his $3 million?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I know last night, Liljegren played. So if you look at the ice times of Toronto's D, it's like, you know, 19, 20 minutes per guy. And then Liljegren got 13:55.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Berube for the lily pad.
Clip five.
He was fine. I mean, you know, he's out there killing penalties and he got, what, 14 minutes, 5-on-5? I don't know what it was, the minutes, but, you know, he was pretty solid.
Okay, for the record, when my wife asks me,
yeah,
you know, how she's looking tonight, or, you know, and I say fine, I get a slap on the head. No one wants to hear fine.
Yeah. Luke Fox's article today commented on this, on Liljegren's game last night, and said that Toronto was out-attempted 20-2 and outshot 8-2 when Liljegren was on the ice last night. Despite Berube trying to shelter his match.
Well, I mean, he gets asked that question, and he talks to Treliving every day, and there's probably a showcase element of this, getting him back in the lineup, playing games. You can't have Berube going and be like, wow, he's no good, when somebody's trying to maybe make a trade for a $3 million defenseman, right?
And rip him.
So he says that, but he's just lying to everybody.
He was pretty solid.
He had to force that out.
Let's see if our coach Dakota Ring. We may have something on Berube. That might be his. This guy stunk. We'll keep an eye out for that.
I mean, he I was talking to Borny about this, but he cross checks a guy down, takes a penalty. He clearly doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He doesn't know.
Take time to break.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing out there to please the coach.
He did look like a guy that's trying not to make a mistake instead of trying to do something.
Yeah. And it's hard when the coach wants you to be someone you're not. Mm-hmm. I told you the story of writing an article for a certain website that wanted a certain tone, and it ended up, it wasn't my tone, and it came off all weird. And it just, you got to be who you are. And for Liljegren, a cross-checking mean D is never going to be it.
No.
So did you have a really clever tweet last night?
I wasn't really clever.
It was very
Max
clever.
Max Patch already, Patch already got scratched, so I tweeted Max Scratch already. And I don't know. I guess that was disrespectful to Max, who has a prestigious career, and I deleted it. Anyway.
Oh, you chicken. You chicken.
Next time, send that to me. Hey. I'll fire it off. There won't be any deleting.
Oh, my God.
But he's, you know, game four, he's scratched, fellas. Were you surprised?
No.
Did you miss him?
No.
I think, we've seen him play pretty hard already in a few exhibition games, and he's trying really hard, but it's what do you think you're going to get, like 80 games out of this guy? I think this is kind of what he's built for in terms of the expectations or the contract and whether or not – you feel like he's an everyday player or a guy that can just kind of spot duty in if somebody goes down. If they lose somebody in a top six, I think it's an easier fill than thinking that you're just going to throw Nick Robertson up there.
If he's cool with it, I think it'd be great. You know, you got a guy making, what's he make, $850 or whatever he makes, something cheap. And if he's okay with coming out every other night, playing 50 games this year and being available as a depth guy in playoffs, I like him in that role.
I think he'd probably be pretty thrilled if he played over 36.
Yeah, that would be the number.
36 would probably be the number he'd like to get to.
But I think it's uncommon for someone who's been a, you know, a multi-time all-star like Pacioretty to, we've seen it here in Toronto.
Exactly.
People don't actually want to be the fourth line guy.
That's when a Kipper's
I've talked about
this. 10-pole take forever.
Forever. And much like John Tavares, who we know doesn't have
it, but
he doesn't have the last season and a half has not been anywhere near Pacioretty's with the drop off. But when these guys have been used to their whole lives being the guy, and they're not the guy anymore, that's a tough pill to swallow.
It is, and I think some people have shown they can do it. I thought Spezza was the best example, and I thought, you know, Corey Perry has evolved as a player to do it, but it's very uncommon that guys like Pacioretty then become useful in-and-out guys who stay at the top of their game. It's like Giordano. Giordano never wanted to come out.
So we have two separate clips on this. The first one is just the question about it. So can we get the clip two, please, Derek, on scratching Pedretti?
How do you form the decision to keep Max Pedretti out of the lineup tonight?
That's just a decision I made. That's it.
Sam loves that.
I love it. And then the second clip too, message to Pedretti. Clip three.
What's the message to Max?
Well, he's got speed, Bobby.
What's the message to Max after a scratch like tonight, Pedretti?
There's no message. It's like we have guys, we have extra players, and not everybody can play every night. That's the bottom line. I mean, he's been fine when he's played, but I got to make decisions as a coach, and I'm going to make those decisions what I think is best for the team.
Fine. Oh, get ready for that one all year long.
What's that?
My decision I made. And it's what I think is best for the team.
I love that. Explain your decision. I made it.
You don't need anything more than that.
Well, that to me is what's horrible for our show.
But leadership.
A coach. Where it's just like, you're not going to get 2 minutes of word salad on what this guy needs to do or what this is or what that is. I chose the guy not playing because I think we're better without him.
We have 14 forwards. I got to play 12. I thought we'd look best with this 12.
End of story.
Is that the end of story?
End of story.
It's refreshing for me. I have to say it is refreshing. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's okay, Sammy. We wouldn't expect anything less.
I am chugging the Berube Kool-Aid. After I had 7 to 8 Bud Lights the night before, I'm running to the convenience store to get the Kool-Aid or the Gatorade. I'm chugging it.
I am back.
I love him.
It is. What's your message to Max? I like that he's just like, I don't have one. And, he'll get in again. Hopefully he plays better than fine. Fine is definitely not a good review from Berube now.
For someone at that level where I've been a part of it on championship teams and teams that have struggled to get a sniff of the playoffs, there's the training camp where everybody comes in feeling great and refreshed, new coach. I get to start, clean sheet of ice for me to paint, impress. And then somehow during the course of the next few weeks, the next few months, it sorts itself out. Mm-hmm. Who's in the inner circle, who's on the outside looking in, egos, jealousy, and it just has a way of sorting itself out.
Yeah.
And sometimes strong rooms can overcome that, and sometimes it kind of can chew you up a little bit, and you got to let this run its course here because not everyone's feeling great. The team's up 5-2. When was the last time Tavares probably got an earful like that? Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's see how he reacts next game. Or
went out and scored a goal, and I know you think bad
save
or whatever.
Goal. Yeah, a power play.
I know,
goal.
But he had another good opportunity on that power play. Yeah. My point is, he didn't go curl up in the fetal position and die. He went out and got a couple shot attempts and scored.
Luckily, I wear this magical amulet.
This is over. This is the over the course though of 82 games and what's kind of going to be, left. That's all.
Right.
And Berube's going to be hard on these guys. If you're up 5-2 and he's giving you earful, is he going to stay consistent on that? Is there going to be some times when you can't do it all the time because guys can also get real tired of it as well?
Yeah.
That
was a pretty moderate
You can't
message.
Do it all the time. I'm telling you right now, that timeout was message sending early by Berube, not just for the players. There's the fans too. There's the whole world. Mm. That timeout was as much about
I'm the new sheriff
in town, and this is the way I want it to be perceived. So let everybody know. But if he's going to kind of keep that foot on the gas pedal over 82 games, it's going to be tough on the guys.
You want to hear him talk about it? About the timeout? All right. Clip 10, please, Derek.
Well, it was a feel thing for me last night. I didn't like what we were doing. And then I just wanted to, get a break there and bring everybody in and talk a little bit about getting the intensity level up more than anything. They were pushing hard. I thought they pushed hard in the second period too. Our intensity wasn't good enough. We got it back in the second. And then in the third, you know, you're up like that, it's, you know, natural to drop off the intensity level. And we were soft a little bit on pucks and things like that, and they were taking advantage of it. So I wanted to call a timeout and, you know, kind of get everybody dialed in again.
The Holmberg turnover right before the goal, the second goal against, was vile. Just a lackadaisical touch at the top of your inside your own blue. Ugh.
He's had a few lapses this year. A couple ones on the power play, one where he cleared it onto somebody's stick, the one where he almost fell over, Letang shot in the net. He's had a few lapses so far.
So funny that last year Keefe said the word soft, and it was a two-year-long saga. We played it ad nauseum. We talked about it. And last night, Berube said the exact same thing. And it's just like, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Power play, Austin getting on the board. Everything's good again.
Who shoots a puck like that? How does he shoot it like that?
I didn't even see it go in.
I mean, it was like, okay, he fanned on it. He's off balance. And then it was just like, what? Is that? It was in?
Crushed it.
Freakish.
He loves to shoot the puck, though.
He does.
That skill.
Even at bad angles, too. Like, he's on the goal line. He's throwing it to the net.
Oh, yeah.
He scored a few like that last year, though. That's probably why he did it. Like, the one against Buffalo.
Yeah. Just whip him from the...
But, I mean, the skill involved and the dexterity after a all-world fan.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't have fanned harder on that shot.
Yeah.
And then just to pick it up and make it look like it's a fake and shoot. Like,
head and on his toe. And
he likes to shoot it. And he looked like he was pretty happy.
Yeah, he wanted that one.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys a question that with Nyes and the way Mariners looked so far, and he's really picked it up in these past few games. I thought he was awesome again last night.
Who's that, Mitch?
Mitch.
And Nyes. On the backhand.
Yeah. Is there a potential that Nyes, Matthews, and Marner could be the best line in the league?
Yeah, they can.
Well, there's times when they have the puck in their own zone, and it's like L.A. looked paralyzed.
Yeah,
not getting it back.
I am an unabashed Matthew Nyes fan, but I still think that the chemistry with him and the other two, it's not there. Like, I don't see it necessarily. Like, not to say
still feels like them two playing and him kind of standing around.
He's like a guy doing kind of a different thing, and maybe he'll get there. But I don't. Do you see that at all?
I think there's so much growth in his game mentally as well. When to hold on to the puck a little bit more, when to move it, when to go in and out, when sometimes not go to the net but be an outlet. Like, he's still learning the game.
Yeah.
But he's so big and strong. It's like watching a linebacker open up a hole for a running back.
It's like a baby rhinoceros or something.
Oh, gosh. he's just a mule.
Yeah. Bobby McMahon, a little bit of that last night, too.
I just thought he's improved even through four games. He's looked better every game.
Nice. I agree with that.
And I do think by game 10 or 15 that if he's seen a few go in and those guys are buzzing around, I think they could be.
I'm not sure if he'll ever be like a top scoring
winger. I don't think he will be.
Can he score 80 points in the league?
But he can be high. Can he be Hyman? Not score 50, but what a younger Hyman used to do for those guys.
I think if he can chip in 55, 60 points, that would be incredible.
I think that's his ceiling?
No. You think he can be an 80, 90 point guy?
No.
Give me a number then.
Well, 55 and 90 is a big swing.
So 80, then you're in the middle.
Can he be a 70 point guy?
Can he be a point a game guy?
I think if he plays on that line at age 26, yes. He's 22, right? He just turned 23, maybe?
Age 26, that'll be 3 years with Mitch and the Blackhawks, so it'll be tough to be playing on a line with them.
Jokes.
I'm not sold on him.
He just turned 22.
Yeah, but I'm not sold on him being a top scorer.
I think there's a chance that we look, I remember you always talking about, like, Tom Wilson. Like, where do we get one of those?
Yeah.
And, like, not that Nyes is going to fight people, but if you have a 230-pound guy who gets 60 points, 70 points.
Yeah. I'm not sure where he is on the, FU meter. Mm-hmm. I think he's
got to find it a bit.
I'd like to see a shorter fuse on him.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it'll ever get there.
I think if he can dial that up a bit, that would go a long way.
That would go a long way.
And I think it's now possible a couple more years in the league where you start to feel like this is mine. You can't take it from me. When you realize what a monster you are, it could come. It could come for him still.
Let's take a break, and then we'll talk about Bobby McMahon and some other stuff when we come back.
So before we go, I kind of gave him a little bit of a beef for deleting his Twitter message. This is what I get every once in a while.
Oh, God.
From Stan the Man.
Okay.
Can you ask Sam to unblock me? I know we disagree sometimes, but he doesn't have to block me.
Sam's a fragile flower.
I am pleading for Stan the Man. Can you unblock him, please?
We'll review the case. It's okay if you disagree. Honestly, yeah. I am so, like, it takes a lot for me to block somebody. I am not a blocker at all. I have lots of mutes, but not a lot of blocks. So he must have said something pretty dumb.
I don't block many people till like 2 years ago. Yeah. And it is liberating. It is liberating to be like, yeah, bye.
Well, so in the break, we'll review the case. And
we'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah. Hey, Stan the Man, I'm trying for you, buddy. I'm trying for you. All right. More of that and the Leafs on the Leaf edition of The Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, and Sammy McKee. We're getting down to why Stan the Man blocked our Sammy.
I will say, I went and reviewed the tapes.
Yeah.
Oh, bit of a quick trigger by your boy. I will say this is one of my quicker triggers.
You can let him back in?
I might, yeah.
Yeah, I give him another chance.
But
I thought it was way worse.
No, it was a quick trigger. I must have just been having a bad day, but he was... Basically, I was talking about Canada soccer, and he was all over me for being a casual soccer fan, which I'm not. Yeah. I actually love soccer, and I've been a huge soccer fan my entire life. He was all over me for that. He was sending me multiple tweets about it, and I was just having a bad day, so I hit the old block, and it felt great. And at the time, felt great.
He called you a loser. But we've called you a loser.
Yeah, but I like you guys.
All right, I'm working on you, Stan.
All right, I'll try
Stan
my best.
The man.
I'll try my best.
Okay, McMahon, is he turning into a poor man's Matthew Nyes?
Poor man's Matthew Nyes.
Wow, he's not playing with Austin Matthews or Marner, but big, strong guy, can get to the net and shoot it in.
I know we'll listen to Berube's clips after. I think it's hard when you've been a good offensive player to just become a boring version of that. When a coach is like, you're not our best goal scorer. We want you to go in straight lines, do boring things, and sometimes shoot it in. And I think that's what Berube's
asking. He smoked Anderson last night. Did you see the hit?
Yeah.
Smoked him.
And he got in a little like whatever that, with Deneau.
Tussle.
That we should see more of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it doesn't have to end up being as good looking of a hit, because those are hard,
yeah,
as I've lived through it. But... You should be, your intent should be
run into a couple
that forceful all the time.
If he runs into someone like that every other game and he scores 15 to 20 goals and he's a free agent 2 summers from now, someone will give him, I don't know, $4 million a year for a 20.
Oh boy.
If he scores 20 goals and he runs into people hard.
You were trying to give him $3 million last year, Kipper.
Stop it.
You were. You were.
I said.
You were paying the man.
You loser.
Okay, you want to go back to your tape on this one?
No, I don't.
I said that teams should be looking at him like St. Louis looked at Dylan Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm.
To me, Holloway or McMahon, who would you want right now?
I mean, honestly, I like Holloway quite a bit. So, probably McMahon. I don't know. Today, I'll take McMahon for a game.
Okay, flip a coin.
Yeah, sure.
But my point is that, like, why aren't teams doing this? And Lorenz as well. Like, how do you let this guy... Who couldn't use that type of guy? 32 teams. Who couldn't use that guy? Why wouldn't you have put an offer into him before the Leafs decided on a PTO?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just some dumb teams, yeah. I guess.
L.A. probably could have used him.
Yeah.
I know there's contracts, and I know that egos are involved, and you think your team's great.
Oh, and you want to honor your scouts who told you that their guys are going to turn
Don't worry about getting this guy. I've got the guy for you in our organization. I drafted him.
Yeah, let's listen to Craig Berube talk about old Bobathon here. Clip four, please.
Well, he's got speed, Bobby, and you know, he finished tonight, which was good to see. But he's a power forward. That's how we should think the game, night in and night out, is being a power forward with his skating and his size. He doesn't have to complicate the game. He's going straight lines and bang bodies and get to the net and score goals around the net.
God, I would hate that. Oh, I would hate hearing that from my coach. I would hate it.
Why? Because it would put pressure on you to be this guy all the time?
It would take the fun out of hockey, right? It's like asking you to be a worker, which he is paid to be. Listen, I'm not saying he shouldn't do it or it's not the right thing. I'm saying I would hate personally hearing it. It would be hard to change the way you've always played.
And both goals he scored last night, I mean, the first one he shot into a wide-open net when it landed on his stick. And the second one, it's like, I mean, Riddick was over in the near corner when he shot it into the wide-open net. Like, they weren't both of them.
So can...
No save, Dave.
Can he learn?
No save.
Can he learn to
is
be
he
meaner?
Oh, there's no learning. It's an easy thing he's being asked to do.
Are you willing to learn to do that every game?
Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to be
and
a ditch
And what's your guess? That he's going to pick and choose and take his foot off the gas pedal when it's three games in 4 nights
where'd he
in
go to school?
February?
I'm asking sincerely. Does anyone know where he went to school? Is he an Ivy guy?
I feel like he's a smart guy, yeah.
I feel like he's an Ivy guy. I feel like he thinks he's too smart to be a ditch digger.
Oh.
Colgate. There it is. It's tough to tell a guy, just turn it off. Dump it in.
Dumb.
Run into people.
Be dumb.
Dumb it down.
Buddy, you'll never get an argument out of me on that.
Yeah.
I've lived it. I've played with some of these guys who think, you know, they're willing to do something and they're not.
Yeah.
I get it.
Me cut this back and delay. I should play with, you know, Marner and Matthews. And once I'm with them, the coach will see that I'm actually more of an offensive guy than he thought. And I'll just make a couple more plays than a.
Must be nice to play with Willie and Domi, though.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The puck's finding you a lot. Like the pass that Willie makes off the sideboards, just, you know, sees him down the middle of the ice, hits him right in the tape.
Yeah.
And the other one is just lands on his stick in the slot, too.
But that was a great play by McCabe.
Yeah.
The other one, he zips it through to Domi and puts it on net.
Yeah. He's just getting stronger and more confident and looks more like a leader than he ever has prior. He's in a sweet spot. But like we've talked about earlier and you mentioned at the top of the show that blue line feels different with OEL and Tanev. And it just seems like maybe guys are slotted a little bit more.
Yeah.
Morgan picked his spot last night
to
come down the slot.
Mm-hmm. D-man to D-man, high tip is not something you see a whole lot. But it was a nice goal.
Yeah.
Do we have a clip of Berube talking about defending?
We have a clip, yeah. It's just about them... The lack of goals against so far this year. What's the number? Is it 7?
4 even strength goals in 4 games against, which really, really good.
So we'll have clip 9, please, Derek.
I think the mindset, more than anything, is there with the checking side of things. We're pretty tight on people. We're not giving up odd man rushes, so we've got to continue to stress that, not giving up odd man rushes. I thought we were in our end too much last night. You know, I'm not sure I mentioned that to you guys, but... For me, we let them come at us a little bit too much. We didn't get up enough and you know, in the neutral zone well enough. But in saying that, we were good at our net and we were good in the slot area, keeping them outside. You know, they shot a lot of pucks from the point.
See, and you guys have heard me the last few years on bad pinches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
they were
outside of a few turnovers in the neutral zone. Last night, we have not seen blatant 150-foot two-on-ones coming down the other end.
No,
that has cleaned up in the first 4 games.
I was trying to find rush numbers, but it's definitely been better. And, you know, that goes such a long way for a team like the Leafs, who you used to look at sometimes they get a little run and gunny, and you would often say on our show, like, that's just not playoff hockey. That's not sustainable.
That's
why they lost to the Montreal Canadiens years ago in the North Division.
And not managing the clock and not picking your spots. Like, there's times to gamble. There's times to take educated guesses. Yeah. But they've been horrible over the years on that.
You know, we haven't talked about them a lot this year, but Benoit slotted on the third pair is so nice. You know, not that he's been exceptional this year. He hasn't been good, bad, or otherwise. But when he was playing second pair with McCabe, little above his ability probably, right? Yeah. But you feel very good about a guy who defends the blue line, finishes his check. He's a good third pair guy. So once they figure out whoever he's going to play with.
Played 20 minutes last night.
Did he really?
He did. 20-29 last night.
Wow.
12-35 on Saturday against Pittsburgh. So
it'll be interesting if Hockenpah does come in and stretches out a few games here where he kind of fits in.
I'd imagine with Benoit, probably on the third
What a couple of butchers.
You need two of them?
I mean, I think a lot of people would say you'd like someone to break the puck out.
That's what I'm thinking. Like two of them at that, I don't know, maybe the chemistry would work, maybe it won't, but is it one of those things where Hockenpah is actually looked upon that if Benoit goes down or if he's not available, then we got him to kind of slot in and take over that role? Or is there actually a role in a top six one day for both of them to be in the lineup?
Yeah, I guess that does remain to be seen. I don't have the answer to that. I got to see them together.
Yeah, I guess that's probably why they've tried. They had Timmins with Benoit, who's a guy who, quote-unquote, snaps it and can break it out and play with a more defensive guy. And then they tried Liljegren last night, who's sort of supposed to be that guy as well.
You saw.
But I guess that the reason that Benoit's numbers bumped up is because five guys played way more than the sixth guy, right? So
yeah.
Would it bother you if Tanev's the only right-handed D?
Yeah. Wouldn't it bother you?
I'd like another one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't help but feel like Timmins is going to find a way to fall down a manhole cover or something, or without the cover on it or something. I guess that would be just called the manhole.
yeah, correct.
But, he's had bad luck in his career. Would he have mono at one point? So if he's healthy, though, I'd rather see Timmins get back in. Let him have a chance at running away with the job here.
Yeah.
All right. Do we get a little Berube love on OEL?
He talked about him today and what he liked about him. Clip.
Well, he's a player that's played a lot of minutes in this league at times. Last year, he's probably around 20 or just under a little bit, and penalty kill and things like that. He right now is an all situational guy for us. So, depending on the game and what's going on in the game and, the flow of the game, that'll determine the minutes for him.
I will say right now, so if the season was four games long,
mm-hmm.
Brad Treliving will have had the greatest offseason in the history of hockey.
Each edition has been very good.
Stolarz has been unbelievable, godsend for them, who we barely even mentioned, but was good again last night. You know, Ekman Larson and Tanev have changed the decor.
Ekman Larson's like running into people.
Want the Stanley Cup playoffs to start right now.
Lorenz may be one of the best fourth liner signings in the league.
In the history.
Yeah. And Domi's been unbelievable. He lead the team in points, got five assists already. It's like, wow. Treliving wants it to start right now.
Yeah.
Can we fast forward to the
I think you wanted to start right now, right. The first
you're
round.
Right. You're right, I do.
We can't leave the Leafs hour without getting an update on Joseph Woll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a really good update.
Clip 7, please.
Very good. He's doing well. Keep him going here. We'll see where he's at tomorrow.
You could chance he's a full go tomorrow?
That's a good question. I think we'll see how today goes, and then we'll make a decision on it. So we're not going to rush him.
Would you put him in?
We're not going to rush him.
No. Would you put him in against the Rangers?
A bubble? I'd put him in a bubble.
Would you put him in against Tampa Bay?
Columbus, second half of the back-to-back. That's where he's going.
What's that?
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday's good.
Yep.
That means you're giving the hill to beast either Tampa Bay or the Rangers, or you're going Stolarz,
baby. He's the starting goalie. You know how good he's been? I don't even think about Woll. There's another guy that's going to come in here?
Was last night...
I don't think about you at all.
Exactly.
Most insulting thing ever.
I don't.
Did they mention that, consecutive starts in the NHL, that was the first time last night that he's played three games in a row in the NHL?
They did mention that, yeah.
So now you're going to go five times in a row.
Yeah, first time in his career he's played five in a row, too.
Hey.
Yeah.
Great test.
Why not?
Yeah.
The way Woll's been, you're going to need him.
I've got to wish Lori a happy 60th birthday. You know who Lori is?
Tell me.
It's Mike Fuda's sister. And you know why I have to do it?
Why?
Because he forgot in his own show.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Lori.
Now media superstar Mike Fuda.
Couldn't even remember
his sister's birthday.
Oh.
Wow.
And he reached out to you. He felt that bad?
Yeah.
What a guy.
Happy birthday.
Now Kip is going to sing to it.
All right. Don't go away.
My bad.
Still warming up here. For all your birthday wishes on the Real Kipper and Bourne show, send a note to Sammy.
Yeah.
Yeah, send a note to Cameo.
We're back with the National Hour coming up next.